Good evening, everybody. It's another Wednesday at the Grace Community Church, and that means it's another time of Bible study in our midweek service. We've been on a series looking at the help of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. It's titled Our Helper, the Holy Spirit. But in the last 7 weeks, we've been on this section that is titled The Spirit's Giftings. In the last 6 weeks, we've tried to give definitions and have detailed discussions on these abilities and phenomena that are described for us as spiritual gifts in Scripture. We've defined them looking at passages of Scripture and also giving examples from the lives of people that we see in Scripture, and also relating it to contemporary Christianity, and even sometimes drawing examples from experiences and occurrences within us as a church. Along the way, we've also had question and answer sessions. And today's session really is like the answer to a question I believe is in the hearts of many people, and had even been asked somewhere along the way, but we felt we should wait until this point before answering the question. The question is, how do we recognize or identify our gifts? And to answer this question appropriately, or to deal with this issue properly, it is important to point out that there is really no scriptural passage that teaches us about how to discover or identify our gifts. The key passages, the four key passages that we've been looking at in the last 6 weeks, the passages that I described, if you remember well, as the 2:12s and the 2:4s, the 2 chapter 4s and the 2 chapter 12s, which are Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, none of those passages goes into any detailed explanation about how to identify or discover our gifts. In fact, as you read those passages, what you see is that there's almost a presupposition by the writer of the epistles that people already knew their gifts, and so the emphasis was on us using our gifts to serve one another in love. Having said that, I must also point out that over the years, I've come across a number of tools that have been developed by different Christian ministries or ministers to help people identify their gifts. Basically, these tools consist of a series of questions, almost like self-administered questionnaires, that are aimed at helping believers identify their specific areas of gifting. And if you do a simple Google search and put in the terms spiritual gifts tool or spiritual gifts test, it will yield some good results. These tools and these tests just make us consider which service activities connect best with our passions and abilities, or how God seems to use us the most in serving others. But we must realize that ultimately, these inventories can provide a great starting point for realizing our spiritual gifts. But we will still need to do more ourselves beyond the tools. And so, in the next probably 10, 15 minutes, I just want to share some simple points that I have found helpful both personally and in the lives of other Christians in the process of recognizing spiritual gifts. And so, I'm not giving an exhaustive list. I'm just giving some helpful points that I believe have not only helped me, but also I've seen help countless other people in identifying their spiritual gifts. So, number one, the first thing to consider is that as we went through this series and as we defined and looked at examples of the 10 specific spiritual gifts that we have looked at so far, apostleship, prophecy, pastoring, teaching, exhortation, evangelism, as we went through that list, which of these gifts resonated with you during the series? Which of these descriptions, you know, we described some of those abilities and we described what they essentially consist of. So which of those descriptions most closely fits what you have noticed about yourself? Which experiences have you been having frequently in any of the areas that we have described in the last 6 weeks? What areas of ministry do you feel most comfortable in? Now, if you're able to answer this question sincerely to yourself, it may just be a pointer to your specific spiritual gifts. So, for instance, if, as we described the gift of giving, you know, it sat well with you and you felt, wow, that's me they are just describing, you know, that's me, this is me, then it would suggest to me that you have the gift of giving. If, as I spoke about how that a pastor would have the heart to follow after people and to care for people, and you felt it deep in your heart that, wow, Pastor Inka was talking about me, then I'll say, bless the Lord, you've got the gift of pastoring. But you understand what I mean. And so if you look at those things and answer those questions, then it should help in identifying which gift you probably have. That's number one. Number two, another thing that I found helpful is to identify the areas of ministry in which you have received sincere commendation or feedback from other believers about how well you did or how well they were blessed by your work of service. And at the same time, the reverse is also the case. Okay, so let me explain. So if you spoke somewhere and at the end of your teaching, people came to you and said, wow, I was blessed by your teaching. I'm not saying, you know, there are some people that will always say, oh, I was blessed, Pastor. Oh, Pastor, that was a wonderful message. No, I'm not talking about people who deceive you like that, but who sincerely see. And I'll give an example. There was a Bible study series we had in the church when we were still at Ogba. And Pastor Joshua did a presentation for his group. I had always known that Pastor Joshua had the gift of teaching. But I suspect that when he did that presentation for his group, it opened the eyes of several people to the fact that he had the gift of teaching. Suddenly, well, as if people suddenly just recognized that, wow, this man has the gift of teaching. And so that's the way it works. So if people have sincerely spoken to you and commended you and told you how blessed they were, maybe you give an exhortation and people say, wow, that really moved me. Or people have come to say, wow, we really appreciate what you're doing in this regard or in that regard. That would also be a pointer. And when I said the reverse is the case, I mean, if, now, we need to be a bit careful about this. However, but if you're consistently doing something and it doesn't seem that people are getting blessed by it, it doesn't seem, you know, inverted commas, it doesn't seem like people are getting blessed by it, then that may also indicate that maybe there's something up there. All right. Okay. Number three, You can ask godly friends or mature believers who know you well what gifts they think they can identify in you based on their interactions with you and how they have observed you or observed your work of service in the ministry. The operative word in this number three is godly friends or mature believers. Godly friends or mature believers. And the reason why I'm saying this is this. What you are essentially looking for in this is godly counsel. So I'm not talking about people who will just give you some strange feedback or people who you don't trust their assessment. I'm talking of people who you know have your genuine interest at heart and who have related with you, and based on that, you can approach them to ask them that question. It helps. Number four, pray. Pray about it. If we can ask our friends or other mature believers to help us identify our gifts, then we can certainly ask God about it. After all, the Holy Spirit is the giver of the gifts, and He can definitely reveal the answers to us. I'm convinced that He will show us if we ask Him. So, if you're confused and you're still not sure, pray about it. And our Lord will reveal to us, or reveal to you by His Spirit. Number five. So I've said four things. So number one had to do with which of these gifts that we've talked about resonates with you. What have you noticed about yourself? Number two, identify areas in which people have sincerely given you commendation or told you about how blessed they were by what you did. Number three, you can ask godly friends or mature believers. Number four, pray about it. And then number five, look for opportunities and start serving. Sometimes the error is that people wait until they fully discover their gifts before they become useful in ministry. Philip and Stephen, you remember them? In Acts chapter 6, they were picked as deacons in the early church. And you see, unlike in modern day churches, where being a deacon is a prestigious church title, being a deacon in the context of Acts chapter 6 was a lowly job. It was a menial task. That role, if you remember from last week, involved sharing food and supplies among a large number of church members who needed it. But if you follow the story in Acts, Philip went on to become an evangelist to Samaria and beyond. We see that in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9. In fact, Stephen was without doubt a man that was full of faith and fervent in the Spirit. In fact, those were the criteria. Acts chapter 6, verses 5 and 8. So Stephen was full of faith, fervent in the Spirit. He could have rejected the task of serving tables. He could have rejected the task of having to share food and needs amongst these people. When you read Acts chapter 7 and you study Stephen's speech or Stephen's sermon to the Jews in Acts chapter 7 before he was killed, you would understand and recognize that Stephen was filled with the word of God. And in fact, probably, Stephen probably had a communicative gift. Probably. However, in spite of how gifted these men were, they did not reject the opportunity to be of service in the early church as mere food stewards, so to speak. They took that role and played it to the best of their ability. Barnabas, who became Apostle Paul's partner in missionary work, was originally named Joses. That was his name. Barnabas was like a nickname, a name that the apostles gave him, and that meant the son of exhortation. But that name was given to him as a testimony of his ability for speaking or exhorting people. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. But again, if you remember last week, I used Barnabas as an example of someone who gave, right? The first mention of Barnabas in the book of Acts was in respect of his giving, not even of his speaking, not in respect of his exhortation, not in respect of his prophecy or being among the prophets, nothing. The only thing, the first thing that you see mentioned about Barnabas was his giving. This is what I'm trying to pass across. Sometimes we are just waiting at the sidelines, when what we ought to do is to get involved in the work of the ministry and become busy with the work. I have learned that it's in the place of sincere devotion and service to God that our specific giftings become apparent and are sharpened. I always give the example of myself. I remember serving when I first got into university in the technical crew in my fellowship back then. Word Herald Assembly, University of Ibadan. Technical crew. And I was also singing in the choir. It was while serving in the technical crew and singing in the choir that I recognized my specific gifts of grace that the Lord had given me. And then over the years, I learned how to gradually allow God sharpen and develop those abilities in me. And so you cannot sit down and fold your arms and wait. Look for opportunities to serve. And as you put your heart in full devotion to the service, through the other means, God, by His Spirit, begins to show you the specific gifts that He has placed in you and also helps you sharpen and develop those gifts. If there are still any questions, please feel free to put them on the WhatsApp group, or you put them up on the MixLR chat, and we'll provide the answers to the best of our ability. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and also enjoy the rest of the week. Next week, we should be looking at the phenomena of the manifestation of the Spirit. Bye, everyone.